full time. They're paid at 2,000 stuff there.
Department of Transport. Thank you very much for attending. I think there was a, I don't know whether to call it a scare of a storm, but so far, see, this weather is normal. When there's no sun, there's rain. It's always like this, so I don't see any difference. But I know that those who didn't come to work because of this situation. But for me, it's normal. I'm told that by 11, it will change, but I don't believe that.
By 11, the storm's coming, by the way.
I believe when I see it. My name is Mandla Khai. I'm a member of the National Council of Provinces, representing the Eastern Cape, and also the chairperson of the Select Committee on Economic and Business Development. Will allow honorable members to introduce themselves, and then the department will also. Thank you.
Oh, I thought you wanted to start their site this morning. Good morning to everybody. My name is Eddie Makua, and I represent the province of Gauteng.
Morning, George Ntumwanga from Mpumalanga.
Good morning. My name is Makoseni Shabang. I come from Free State.
Good morning. Willem Faber from the Northern Cape.
Morning. Yakulon. Come from the province where we get a public holiday when it rains.
Morning. My name is Boshi Magwemo from the Eastern Cape. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Nose Stewart in Isulu. Secretary for the Select Committee on Economic and Business Development.
Martins, you're running away now.
Good morning, everyone. I'm the Chair of Parliament.
I'll ask the DG to introduce the team.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. My name is Matabata Mokonyama, Director General for the Department of Transport. Chair, likewise, I'll just like my colleagues to also then do some rounds so that we can also get together.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. My name is Clement Manyungwana. I'm the Acting Deputy Director General for Maritime Transport in the Department of Transport.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honourable Members. I'm Kibi Manana, the Acting Chief Operations Officer.
Morning, Chairperson and Honourable Members. Colleague Chris Lavista from Transport, DDG Road.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honourable Members. I'm J.D. De Villiers. I'm the Acting DDG for
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. My name is Johan Beerman. I'm from Civil Aviation, currently Acting Chief Director.
Morning, Honourable Members and Chairperson. My name is Sipuri Bagwane from the Department of Transport.
Good morning, Chairperson
and Honourable Members. My name is Bosara Mansi, Strategic Planning, Department of Transport.
Good morning, members. My name is Mark Clausen. I'm from OnTrack Solutions.
Good morning. I'm Homan Mosi Opposing. I'm from Minister of Transport.
Good morning, everybody. Ismail Hussain, BMG.
Very much. We know everybody now who is in the meeting. Okay.
We community group, a voice of the community.
Can you switch the mic off, please? Thank you. From our side, we have one apology, which is a standing apology of Honorable Vauder, who has not been well for some time now. So that is the only apology we have received from the department.
Okay, we have the apology from the minister and the deputy minister attending the cabinet committee today.
Thank you very much. without wasting any time, we will allow DG to take us through the presentation on the strategic plan and the annual performance plan and budget. And then after, we'll allow members to ask questions.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Chairperson. The man who has just come in is the CFO of the department, this is Mr. Collins Lezwal. I will do the non-financial part of the presentation, and then he will then conclude with the three or four slides on financials. Chair, hopefully everybody's got the presentation. We're told that the technology is not working today in terms of PowerPoint presentation slides, so we'll use the hard copies. The contents of the presentation here will deal with the how we are aligned in terms of our mandate for the National Development Plan, the medium term strategic framework, and how we then are implementing some of the SONA pronouncements as they relate to the Department of Transport. We'll deal with the issue and the fact that we have done a mid-term strategic plan for the 2015-20 strategic plan, and we'll show areas where we have made changes to that strategic plan document, particularly in relation to targets that we would have in any way achieved and therefore no longer pursuing, but others, those that we are not pursuing, based on policy changes and the new ones that we would have added. And then we'll talk to, therefore, the performance information in terms of the 2017-18 targets, not performance, the APP in particular. And then the budget information will be the last part of the presentation. Slide number 3, the alignment to the NDP, Chairperson. We respond to the call for economic transformation, in particular radical economic transformation, as a catalyst for economic growth. And then where really we fit our march is where we demonstrate accelerated speed in the delivery of services, reflect on stakeholder engagement and buy-in, and then focus on shared growth initiatives. And we strive to prioritize the resource allocations to meet this demand, support the diversification of trade patterns, and support also the industrialization and beneficiation. As you know, transport is very transversal and key to socioeconomic growth, and prioritize capacitation of designated groups. Slide number 4, in terms of the MTSF government priorities, government targets, Chairperson, we strive to improve the level of integration of transport, infrastructure, and systems and operations, both vertically and horizontally, among modes and among spheres, but also talking to issues of regional and continental priorities. Also, there to decrease accidents and incidences across the transport modes, particularly in roads and aviation, improve transport infrastructure on matters of access and mobility in rural and peri-urban areas, While we want to believe that the urban areas issues are related to travel demand issues of speed and travel time, the rural areas still talk to matters related to access and basically accessing transport facilities and systems. And then we'd like to also ensure reliability, affordability and accessibility, efficiency and effectiveness and safety of the public transport, particularly but also transport in general, and then regulate emissions and other externalities, developing a sector-wide funding model for the infrastructure in particular. In the 2017 zone, the President announced $4.5 billion investment into the Muloto Road reconstruction and rehabilitation. That is the road part, the roadside of the corridor, whilst we are also pursuing the rail option, and we already have a memorandum of understanding with China as part of the FOCAC, Praza R Agency, and CCC, from the an equivalent of Praza and the Republic of China, have an understanding to cooperate on the building of the rail part of the corridor. We also have completed the what we normally call the particle bus contract in that corridor, and we are in a position where we can do new designs based on the studies that we have undertaken. That the studies have been completed. The part of our contribution to the government's 9-point plan. Matters of incentivizing exports, Chairperson. We work with Transnet in the port strategy, but we also have work that we are doing as part of the port regulator in terms of the port tariff incentives. Slide number 7, Chair. As part of the transport being transversal, but as part of the localization process, we have submitted as part of the action areas the Praza Rail Modernization Program, which aims to achieve 3,600 jobs and ensure that the initial 20 train sets of a total of 600 train sets would and should have been delivered by June 2017. This we have achieved and received 18. And the remaining 508, just to expand on this, would be manufactured in Niger and Ekurhuleni. So 508 trains will have to be manufactured locally. We also are participating in matters of job creation and our BRT or IPTN rollout. We can safely say that 110 kilometers of roads being operated upon with about 1,000 buses, and we're moving 150,000 passenger trips. That is only the so-called BRTs in the likes of Johannesburg, Cape Town, Tshwane, and some bits on the quality bus services in Go George. Spoken about, in terms of slide number 9, the upgrade of the Muloto Road, that we have already awarded the two portions from the Limpopo and the Mpumalanga sites, which is where the bulk of the money announced by the president will go to. In relation to the Gauteng site, Gauteng will do it in partnership with SAMRA. And we can also indicate that there, as much as we are to start with the construction, maintenance has been happening for about 2 years now. The Harrismith Logistics Hub, Chairperson, concept document has been finalized, but we can also indicate here that the province has developed what they call the economic feasibility study or economic impact study for the area, and we are studying that document to see how does it affect our plans also in relation to the hub, but also in particular the next point, which is the entry to the Beers Pass. Then there's a need to realign in terms of the proposal from the Free State. The other target in terms of the non-fund plan is a participation in the Operation Pakisa Oceans Economy. Part one of two deliverables have already been achieved, which is the maritime transport policy that has been submitted and approved by cabinet. We now have the what we call the comprehensive maritime policy, and it is the cabotage policy, which was also Operation Pakisa deliverable. Chair, the vision and mission remain unchanged, and that we believe we still are the heartbeat for economic growth and social development. And the missions also as the lead in terms of efficient integrated transport systems. The duty values, Chairperson, we still strive to maintain fairness and equity, quality and affordable transport for all, stimulate innovation in the sector, ensure transparency, accountability, and monitoring of all operations, and ensuring sustainability, financial affordability, and accessibility, and upholding all the aid available principles. The strategic goals, Chair, we have six: an efficient and an integrated infrastructure network, transport system that is safe and secure, improved rural access and mobility, improved public transport services, and contribution to job creation and matters around environmental protection. All of these goals, strategies, visions, and missions, we aim and we have been for some time now been delivering them or achieving or trying to achieve them using our seven programs, being administration, integrated transport planning, rail, road, civil aviation, maritime and public transport. Now, Chair, we come to the issues that have indicated that we have had a mid-term review of our strategic plans and targets, basically because the majority of them have been achieved, and I'll move very, very fast on this one. The gender and empowerment policy has been approved, therefore achieved. What we are now doing is to implement it, but in terms of developing it, that it has happened. Integrated communications and marketing strategy also achieved, and it has happened. We have removed the issues around maintaining a directive for 10% reduction in the vacancy rate, basically because government has put a stop on this matter in terms of in its pursuance of fiscal containment and putting a cap on a personnel expenditure. This does not mean we will not fill the critical positions. You have heard Chairperson when we're introducing ourselves. There were quite a lot of actors. We will be filling the key and strategic positions, being those of DDGs and chief directors as well as directors. We might struggle a bit going further down because of financial constraints. The international relations strategy has been developed, finished, complete. The system in terms of upgrading of the website is done. The architecture, enterprise architecture, which is an IT solution, also it is done, as well as the dashboard. The funding framework for road has been finalized. Transport pricing framework has been done and achieved. The Harrismith Hub, the issues I've spoken about, that is the realignment and redirection of this, the work we're doing in this area based on what has been put onto the table by the Free State government. We finalized our chapter in terms of the PSP. While we had a deliverable called finalization of the public sector participation framework, Cabinet took a decision that there should be a government-wide PSP led by the National Treasury. We have submitted our transport chapter to the National Treasury, and I can indicate, based on the interactions we have in the cluster matters, that the National Treasury has finalized this for government. We had issues around the implementation of the ARTO Amendment Bill. We have done our part in terms of developing the bill. It is now in Parliament, still with the public and the Portfolio Committee on Transport. It is a Schedule 26 bill. Obviously, this coming to the NCOP after being dealt with by the PCOT. The RAPS bill also has been submitted to Cabinet. It's also 75 bill, but I'm sure it will come to the NCOP also based on the interest on this bill. And then the active vehicle testing centers, we have done that, but we have improved this target to be the development of anti-corruption and anti-fraud strategy in our DLCs, ETCs, and overload control centers, all of this threat. Although we have achieved them, but we have then modified the target to come up with a strategy. Civil aviation policy has been submitted and approved by Cabinet. It's now done and dusted. The NADP has been submitted to Cabinet. It was sent back for some improvements, which is what we are now finalizing. Buses are an occurrence every year. We are taking them out in terms of basically our normal day-to-day work. Corrective actions in terms of the audit findings, we report to that separately, but we develop an action plan, and we can safely say that we have addressed 14 of the 15 issues. The one outstanding issue is that of the inactive, which we are also hoping to finalize quite soon. And then we have upgraded, done our part in terms of the upgrading of the Mthatha Airport. And then we've done, issued and published regulations in terms of the Chapter 2 aircraft as part of the noise reduction efforts of the department. And then the National Aviation Transformation Strategy is a new indicator that we have added onto the strat plan as part of what we are achieving. Cabotage policy, I've just indicated that it has now been included as a chapter in the maritime transport policy. The cabotage strategy will follow after the cabotage policy has been as part of the implementation of the maritime transport policy. So will be the cabotage bill and therefore act. The mock edit in terms of us preparing ourselves for IMO audits have been done and achieved. The African Maritime Charter has also been done. The Rail Transport Strategy submitted, the review thereof submitted and approved by Cabinet, and so is the Land Transport Policy. The National Land Transport Amendment Bill, our work is done, Cabinet has approved, and then the bill is now with the Portfolio Committee. It's also a 76, which is one of those bills that will come to the NCOP. We have now started a process to develop amendments to the TAT Transport Appeals Tribunal Act as part of improvement of the appeal regime. Chair, that then brings us to the APP for 17-18. We have 37 targets, and they are apportioned as per those programs that I've mentioned earlier in the manner that they are. Administration's got 5, ITP's got 7, rail, 5, road, 6, civil aviation, 5, maritime transport, 4, public transport, 5. And this is basically the following pages that then tells us what is it that we are going to do with the money that has been or will be approved by Parliament to us for this financial year. In Program 1, Chairperson, we will continue to report on the GDYC, the gender the policy that we have spoken about earlier on. And then we will continue the outreach programs in intensifying matters of GDYC. Chair, we will implement and report annually on the human resource development strategy. We have completed the skills audit and we are factoring in the results of that skills audit in terms of us going forward. We will ensure that we improve financial prudence and governance and compliance in terms of PFMA and treasury regulations. We'll implement the risk management strategy, which has just been completed for this strategic plan. Chair, we have the net map which was approved by Cabinet sometime last year, and in there we have got what we call priority projects, and we have targeted 10 of the priority projects and interventions, which we will then report on as part of our work for the 17-18 APP. White paper, we are finalizing that work, Chairperson, in that we will submit to Cabinet by the end of the financial year, the revised white paper on transport policy. We are revising the 1996 white paper. And then rotary strategy has also been approved, just been approved by Cabinet, will continue to implement it. And then we will develop the what we call the regional transport market access strategy, talking to our neighbors and how we then interface on matters of regional coordination, but also matters related to seamless movement of goods and persons. Step Bill, Chair, we have found each other with DPE. We plan to then go to Cabinet for to allow us to then take it out for last time to for public participation and then bring it to Parliament for consideration. And then also have a target called the Road Traffic Determination Framework, which we are finalizing and will submit to Cabinet by 2018. This, Chair, the framework will allow us to be in a position to come up with a tariff model that would be acceptable. For example, if we were to decide on increase on road pricing or user pay charges, that is the framework that will assist us to play in that area. Chair, the green transport strategy, this is has been submitted way before time to Cabinet, and then we'll be focusing on the implementation. And then the rail policy, the green papers has been approved some time now. We will take the draft white paper to Cabinet for approval, and then we'll have the country's first rail policy. Although we do have a chapter on rail in the white paper. And that will be followed by, therefore, the Rail Act or the Rail Bill. If you recall, Chair, the National Land Transport, National Land Transport Act does not necessarily have much in terms of rail transport. And then we'll have a migration plan. We have the IRER, the Interim Rail Economic Regulator. And once matters related to STAR are resolved and finalized and STAR is approved, we will move this IRER together with the other regulator, economic regulators, into this single transport economic regulator. So we will be developing a migration plan for that, starting with rail. Basically, some of the other areas are properly covered. Rail is one area that we then want to plug in and then get everything else at a later stage into the stair. We will then also implement the chapter that I've spoken about that was given to and approved by government, given to National Treasury and approved by government of the PSP framework, more especially in how the private sector can assist in investing in infrastructure in particular in our space and collaborate and cooperate with us, and SOEs. We'll also then have the RSR, the Rail Safety Bill, submitted to Cabinet. We have a draft roads policy. We will finalize this work this financial year. We've done all that needs to be done. We will go to, it is on its way to Cabinet for final public consultation, and then we'll have the roads policy at the end of the financial year. And then we'll continue to maintain and construct as part of our monitoring of the Humber-Sonke project of PRMG, PRMG, the grant, which we give to provinces in the form of a maintenance grant. And then we will finalize the access roads development plan. While we focus on the primary and secondary arteries, we still have a challenge on the access roads, and this is the work that we will be doing. We also are looking, and we've been given a directive to look at our SOEs. We have 12 now. And then there is a realization that there could be a duplication in some of them. We now are looking and analyzing the enabling legislation, and we would want to come up with the consolidated funding legislation in specific modes. For an example, the year in roads, we're looking at the RTMC and the Cross-Border Transportation Act. Some of the functions are overlapping in there. And then we will implement the National Road Safety Strategy that has been approved by Cabinet. I have indicated that when I spoke about inspections on the VTCs, DLTCs, and the overload control authorities, areas, that we are taking out that target, which talks to just mere visits, but we'll be focusing on an anti-corruption and anti-fraud and corruption strategy in those areas based on what those visits have found. And then we're plugging in the holes, should there be any. We'll also then, in aviation, deal with the regulation as part of the pieces of legislation that we said we are bringing to Parliament for approval. We've gone through government. That talks to the Airport Company Act, the ACSA Act, and the ATNS Act. And then we also are looking at the air services licenses. Again, the work here will be looking at how we can merge the domestic as well as the international air licensing councils. And then we'll be finalizing also the Civil Aviation Amendment Bill. Here we're cleaning up the bill, the act, the principal act in terms of typos, but in terms of other new definitions. For example, as an example, you'd find areas where it still talks about the Department of Foreign Affairs, those kind of issues. We're cleaning that piece of legislation. And then we'll complete and finalize the work on the transformation strategy in the aviation sector in particular, just to make sure that we open it up to previously disadvantaged individuals and communities. And then in terms of maritime policy, we will then operationalize it, implement it, and come up with the, in particular, as part of the deliverable of operations practice at the Cabotage Act. We have the, I think it's a 50-year-old, Mr. Manyungan, Merchant Shipping Act, which has been amended more than 17 times. We are now overhauling that piece of legislation and coming up with the new Merchant Shipping Act. And that is the target on slide 45, where we are developing a completely new Merchant Shipping Act. And then we have been given permission by Cabinet to host the World Maritime Parallel Day event in 2020 as the country, and we are doing the planning and preparations for that event. It's an annual IMO event, and South Africa has been tasked with hosting it in 2020. Public transport will continue, Chairperson, to bit by bit assist district municipalities in terms of their network plan. We'll target the further two going forward. And then, Chairperson, we have now a revised tax recapitalization program. We have taken it to Cabinet. If approved, we'll be busy with the implementation of that, including the turnaround plan. Just to indicate, this turnaround plan talks about matters of transportation in the public transport space. We'll continue our work in terms of the public transport network grant and monitoring and evaluation of that grant, which seeks to make interventions in the 13 identified cities. We will report on progress and ensure that we provide support to those beneficiaries. I've indicated that there's a new target called the development of the amendments for the Transport Appeals Tribunal, and that then will be the last target of the Program 7 and the last target of the department. Following hereafter, then, Chairperson, will be the financial information that will be presented by our CFO, Mr. Colin Sulizwalo. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, apologies for arriving a bit late. I've forgotten my card. I had to go through. We'll start with a budget summary. The reality of our budget has been that although we have continued to push for more, which is not happening, our budget has been growing quite substantially over the years. we are one of those areas of infrastructure where we have been quite fortunate enough in a sense that the budget has not in real terms been cut, and we have managed to maintain our baseline. That you'd see from the 13-14 year, we had 43 billion rand. In this year, 17-18, we are sitting at 59.8 billion, which will grow to about 68.5 billion in the outer year. We continue with the maintenance of provincial and national road networks, upgrading and maintaining of rail infrastructure, which is one of the focus areas, and the improvement of public transport on both rail, for both rail and road commuters. As it is, this needs to fund outcome 6, as stipulated in the MTSF. We have a budget of that much, but about 98.1% of that budget is transferred to our 12 entities and provinces as well as municipalities, as we'll see as we move to the next slide. The budget summary shows compensation of employees about 450. It is kept to about 470. And about 505 in the next year. You will see transfer and payments about 58.6 billion of the 59.8. Our goods and services has reduced over the period. You would see we had 1.6 billion. We are now sitting at 660 million rands in that area. The next slide is just an indication of how we are doing on the compensation of employees. Much more, this has been where we couldn't even reach the target of filling the post, as the NDG has already said. Ours is to maintain this and ensure that the strategic posts and what we have looked at is filled. But it looks like over the years we need to do with what we have. We'll fill the DTG post as the minister has instructed, and the ones at the lower level will have to do with what we currently have. So we need to rationalize as we have the department when we move forward. Issues of major transfers, as I said, the biggest chunk of the transfer goes to Passenger Rail Agency of South Africa with 19.2 billion. The next goes to South African National Road Agency, SANRA, at 15.9 billion. And we have got the Provincial Road Maintenance Grant at 10.7 billion, followed by the Public Transport Network Grant of 6.1 billion. And we have got Public Transport Operations Grant of about 5.7 billion rands. The, as I said, the biggest chunk goes to our agencies, mainly on the rail side and the road side. That total comes to about 58.2 billion in this current financial year. On other transfers, in the next slide, we do transfer a bit of money to taxi scraping agency of about 389 million. This financial year, and we do support the South African National Taxi Council with about 21 million, and the rest goes to the smaller bits in ASPA to support especially international organizations as well as higher education institutions. One of the most important slides, I think, for the committee, page 56, slide 56. Is what we call the Provincial Road Maintenance Grant, which is we call also Siamba Song. This grant, about 10.7 billion. The biggest chunk of it goes to the province of KZN with 1.7 billion, Free State with 1.3 billion, Eastern Cape with 1.2 billion, Northern Cape with about a billion. and the rest goes to Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Northwest, as well as Gauteng. This is an area for us that we continue to look at because that's an area where we create jobs and we participate in the job creation area. The next slide goes to what we call the Public Transport Operations Grant, which is actually the buses, bus subsidy. This is an area that needs a lot of work. It hasn't grown to the extent that we want to, but it also has not transformed in the way that we hoped it would have transformed. You see that the major chunk of that goes to Gauteng with 2 billion. The next is KZN with about 1 billion, and it goes to Western Cape, 882, Mpumalanga, 556 million, and you'd see that we had additional requirement of about 700 just to maintain the service in its current form, and only the funds allocated were about 250 million rest, and we have therefore have got a shortfall about 650 and growing up to 844 in the outlying year as a shortfall. So it means that we either have got to cut the services and have others not subsidized. Next slide talks about the challenges we are facing. As we say, the current allocation is not sufficient to cover the escalation costs on the existing contract, especially fuel costs. That creates a big problem for us as we move forward. You would know about the withdrawal of PATCO in some of the areas because of the lack of growth in this area. The department, as a consequence, has not been able to replace all contracts since 2005, and there's no new service that was introduced in this area. Vehicles are obsolete, and the services are unable to respond to the demand of growing passenger numbers in settlement and urban centers. Currently, most trips, as I said, unsubsidized, poor quality and maintenance, and as the company has to cover the cost. As a result, there is with the service, as I said already, we have seen it in the area of Gauteng with PATCO. The impact of a cut will mean cutting of services that will lead to potential unrest in various areas, because we have to make sure that we cut the services to fit within. The intervention that the department is seeking in this regard visit the transformation plan, which in terms of transform the public transport, the county to identify duplications of subsidies. This is in the area of PTNG, so we need to look at that. We look at the areas of Metro Rail in Brasa to make sure that public transport subsidies are looked at to promote integration of modes, and we seek to ensure that the subsidy policy funds more the commuter rather than the kind of mode that we use. That is just a graphic representation of what we've seen. You see that it has grown for about 4.5 billion in 2013-14, and it's going to grow to about 6.3 in the outlying year, in the 7 years. So you can see that the growth has not been what you want to get. The next important slide is what called PTNG, others call it BRT money. Much more of these funds have been spent. We have spent a lot of money in this area over the past 10 years. In the 17-18 financial year, we're going to be spending 6.1 billion. Mostly in the major cities. You see the city of Cape Town gets about 1 billion. The city of Itequini, 917. City of Johannesburg, 918. City of Tshwane, 900. As I said, there is a transformation plan that seeks to make sure that this is more integrated with the PTOG to see the subsidies. We have learned from this program and we seek to make sure that it seeks to now start to benefit. We have spent a lot of money in infrastructure. There is more money that needs to be spent now in operations to make sure that we align. There's a lot of other cities that are coming on stream in this current financial year on the operational side. And you see that that has been fairly growing over the period from about 5.5 to 6.9 billion over the medium term from 6.1. This is a clear indication that we have been spending in this area. It is a relatively new grant if you compare it to the PTOG, and this is an area where we think we can squeeze out efficiencies. Thanks very much, Chair. That will be what I think from the budget side to take any questions today. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, DC and the CFO.
Yeah.
We are in a mortuary. Ask Mati to list the switch on the heater. I think he's making it worse now, I suspect. Because it becomes worse when he, whenever he touches it, yes. Okay, thank you very much for the presentation. We will at this stage allow members to ask questions. Honorable Makue, Honorable Chimunye, Digme. Honorable Savamu, Honorable Faba, Honorable Makwe, in that order. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me welcome the presentation. Thanks, Acting DG. You did well. My first question is on slide 55, where you make reference to South African National Taxi Council and a grant to them. Can you just help to explain to us why they are getting a grant? What do they use that money for? My second is a serious alarm bell that you are raising on slide 58, where you refer to a cut in the subsidy. What can we do to mitigate that? Because we would want to limit the number of protests. But then on slide 59, you are referring to grants that you're giving to the, let me call it the metros, to the different cities. Don't those two cancel itself out? Help me understand that. My next question would be on the slide 32, where you make reference to road freight. Now we know that road is the preferred mode of transport now for many corporations, and the Department of Trade and Industry also reports to us, and we want to grow the economy and see road freight as a very important mode of transport. But I'm worried. What are your plans with regard to the regulation of trucks? I travel, for example, outside of OR Tambo Airport, and I see a truck filled with sand, and water is running on the tar road, and it causes major damage. And I'm saying, but why can't we fine those trucks that's doing that? We also see a lot of trucks using the N1 between Pretoria and Pietersburg, or Limpopo in particular, where there are lots of accidents, lives of people that are lost. And I'm saying, is there a way in which we can improve on the VTCs along that road so that we take those trucks off the road that are not roadworthy, that's causing the traffic jams and traffic accidents? Maybe to report on that. Then my final question is on the taxi industry. We travel a lot as members of parliament to the airport by taxi, from the airport by taxi. And a lot of the taxi drivers are expressing concern about Uber. Now, I'm not reflecting on Uber as such, but these people are trying to eke out a living for themselves. Have you given attention to those taxi drivers? We're not talking about the minibuses now, those people in the MBAs. Has the department in your APP for the next year given any attention to how exactly we can, as government, act responsibly towards the drivers of these MBA taxis? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. My first question is around the... I've not seen the viability and the feasibility study around the Muloto rail and corridor. Maybe if you can be benefited with that, we may have a better understanding. I would want to see the cost-benefit analysis of this contract or MOU between BRASA and the company of the People's Republic of China. Will it not impact on the cost of traveling between on that route? If it will impact, how big will it impact, and will the economy be able to carry that, the economy of that particular region? Perhaps if you can be benefited with the feasibility or the viability study, and also the analysis on the MOU itself between ourselves and I will also need to know the issues around beneficiation on this major project that are going to be happening in that part of the country. How are the local people benefiting, or what is the plan to benefit even on the planned massive infrastructure problems that will be done in that particular area. Also on the bus contract that you indicated, acting DG, that was somehow under review, if I got you well. Because for many years, PATCO, to be specific, has been running there. I don't know, and I don't know of any beneficiation that would have happened out of the PATCO contract from that area. My last one is the plan, the project plan on the Muloto rail. When do we think this thing will kick off the ground and finish? Because I think the need is so high on that thing. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question is with regard to the potholes. If I were the department, I would not talk about the potholes repair. In fact, all provincial roads should be reconstructed because really they kill our people. For example, a road from Raith to Kwako, it has killed so many people. And it has been constructed by an entity to make mention of. The logistic hub we are talking about in Harrismith is long overdue. It is now more than 15 years that the then president have initiated that it should be put in place. But up until now, only fencing and electrification has been done. When are you going to hit the ground? Then PRASA is also involved in corruption that one cannot talk about. A rail trunk, for an example, that do not fit our rates, when are you going to correct this? Then in page 41, all over South Africa and where I come from, you pay for a driving school. When you test, you also pay to the officials. You have made mention of the fact that you know all those things.
and we are going to correct them. Why can't we together with the committee, unannounced, go to Bethlehem or to Harrismith or to Kwako or anywhere and root the corruption? What is your take that 5.3 billion in locomotive kickbacks from Transnet that were given to Chinese manufacturers so that they became Transnet favorite locomotive suppliers? And lastly, you talked about the implementation of a new taxi recapitalization program development in the Free State in Bloemfontein. There is a taxi rank that is standing there for more than 7 years, which is a white elephant that has been built with millions. It can't access taxis to get in, and you are mum about it. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, firstly, I want to start off by saying that I am not happy that the deputy minister are not even here. Coming to present a budget, or as we now call it, the strategic annual performance plan here, we need the politicians to be here. If there is a cabinet meeting, then at least the deputy minister should be here. It cannot be acceptable that one of them are not here. That's the first thing. Usually in the previous parliament when I was here, we sent whole departments back and they had to come with a minister if it was on another day. We did not even address this, but in this committee, for some reason, it doesn't happen, but let's keep it there. Second thing, Honorable Makuez was talking about Uber. Well, I want to say to you that I use Uber. It creates a hell of a lot of jobs, Uber, and it's clean, affordable, and safe. So I don't think there should be anything done. It's free enterprises, Airbnb, etc. I think there's a lot of people creating jobs for themselves with Uber, so I don't think we should even touch that. Then I would like to know, under 142 contracts worth 24 billion, which are being investigated on corruption, why don't we see this here? I haven't seen this in the report. Because there's 142 contracts, as I say, worth 24 billion that's being investigated for corruption. Now, you know, under Minister Depo Peters, it was so that they actually dissolved the board at some time. And now I see that the minister wants to suspend the board again. Now, I don't know what the reason for this is. This, I'm talking about Praasa now, quickly coming back on Praasa. So I'd like to know what the situation is there, if you have any insight on that. The fruitful waste full expenditure has doubled from 2.3 billion in the first quarter of 2016-17 to 4.6 million in the second quarter. I would like to know what is your look at what do you think about that, and why is irregular expenditure now already at 15 billion and still increasing? Sorry, Chairperson, I've got a few questions. Why have Praasa only reached 41% of their planned target according to the third quarter on your performance report 2016-17? And then my honourable colleague next to me was talking about it, but I would like to just bring out the figures. 2.65 billion of trains to date cannot run on our rail network because it's not suitable and does not work. They, I don't know, are they still adjusting them? What is the situation? I believe it's obviously maybe the China Rail Gupta contracts, which we don't want to even talk about. That we will see the people in court with later on. Then I would also want to lastly to want to know, how far we are with the ARTO, because I know we are busy with ARTO. What is your lookout on ARTO? And then my last question is, what happened to Mr. Letswalo's 350% salary increase that the board did not improve? What is the latest on that? What happened? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Acting DG and the team, colleagues across the table.
Now, mine is a few questions, really, but let me start on good governance. I want to talk about, I want to focus on that quickly. On slide 41, just to support and echo what was said by Mr. Chabongo, but I want to bring another angle. In terms of the TPSA policies, this government institution, it's always been there, actually. It's not something new. Must have a minimum anti-corruption capacity. Now, if you look at your endeavors here, you are saying you want to develop an anti-fraud strategy by the end of this financial year. And you're going to do this one quarter, three provinces per province, and then at the end of the financial year, you produce a strategy. Now, I want to say to you, it cannot be, it is my considered view, a year is long enough. To develop a strategy, you don't need a year, for the following reasons. One, fraud and corruption in South Africa is rife and prevalent. This is the issue, the success and the failure of any institution, amongst many other things, is to be strong on good governance. Now, as Honorable Chabangu has said, the issues of license frauds, where the government officials, the traffic cops colluding with the members of the public, testing centers, we know this thing has been on the public domain for so long. Now, you need to nip it in the bud, and you need to move at speed. Now, it is unacceptable, in my considered view, Chairperson, through you, that you will need a year. These, in my understanding, and if I'm wrong, tell me, you are saying in one quarter you will go to three provinces. Speak with your colleagues, your counterparts there. Look at their policies, challenges, and then you go to another province, do the same exercise. 12 months down the line, it's only then that you'll consolidate those. It's unacceptable. You can do that half of that period. And within two quarters, in my view, you can produce a strategy. You need to move with speed. Therefore, I do not think this is helping us and the challenges we're facing on good governance in South Africa. You need to move with speed. That's the first question. Second one will be on slide number 28. On slide number 28, there's an issue. Number of community outreach campaigns. You have mentioned that your target is 9, and every quarter you'll be going to, you'll be reaching out to one community outreach, 3 second quarter community outreach, 2 community outreach, 4, 3 community outreach campaigns. And here's my questions. We represent provinces, and the government institutions sometimes have failed us. For some very strange reasons, they prioritize particular provinces at the expense of others. Now, how do you spread this? I want you to unpack these community outreaches to address the issues of disability, gender, and youth children. This number of 9 community outreach programs, then unpack them and say, one will be in this province, give it a name. One will be in this province, will be in this province, or you'll be focusing in one province in that exercise. I want to know, because it doesn't help us to say 9. We need to know what work we'll be doing in Limpopo, in Mpumalanga, in the Eastern Cape. We'll be reaching out to the people there. And if you know, if not, then why not? Then lastly, on slide number 7, I'm done chairperson on this one, I promise you. Slide number 7, Acting PG and the team. Slide number 7. Here on PRASA Rail Modernization Program, on the last bullet there, you said on your progress reported, approximately 110 engineers and 170 artisans receiving training in Europe and Brazil, respectively. Brilliant. Now, my question is, why approximately? Why you seem not to be sure? I'm sure this is public money spent or invested in these engineers and artisans. Are you struggling to give us the exact figure here? Why are you saying approximately 110? Why just you can't say 110, 111, 112, 113? The approximately and the partially achieved concepts, we don't accept them in this committee. We need to accept information. Thank you, Chairperson.
any other members who want to ask questions, because we're not going to have a second round. We're done.
Chair, it's not in the report, but it was part of our oversight related to the port authorities. When we visited two of our biggest ports, Durban and what's the other one there in KZN, Richards Bay, we were informed that they are cutting delays, but I'm reading this report of the University of Stellenbosch, where they are still talking about trucks being delayed and ships being delayed in the port. Can we, if that's something that you are prepared for, get an indication from you as to whether we are improving on that? Transnet gave us the impression that they are indeed improving quite rapidly in terms of cutting on the delays and gave us practical examples thereof. But then we get this report from the University of Stellenbosch saying that there are still the delays. So maybe just to help us, because again, it's part of growing our economy and enhancing trade. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. We'll allow now the DG and the team to respond to questions. Just a comment on Honorable Chabangu's question. That the issue of oversight visits to provinces rests with us as a committee. So it's not a matter that the department must respond to. Fortunately, Free State is one of the two provinces that he will be visiting in August, September, as part of the oversight visit program for the committee. So you may suggest then in the committee that perhaps we should also go to Bethlehem. So I'm saying it's a matter for the committee, not necessarily for the department. But if we feel that as we conduct that particular visit, we should then invite the department to be part of that visit. That remains to be decided then by the committee itself. But with the rest of the I just wanted just to clarify that point, but the rest of the questions, I'll give it over to you, DG, and your team to respond.
Thanks, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, for the questions. I'll try to take the majority of them, the easy ones, and then the colleagues will help with the more difficult ones. We also do the unannounced visits. I think the visits by the committee are more announced and prepared. But I thought it was an issue around unannounced visits. We do those, and that's what informed us that we have to come up with a strengthened anti-corruption and anti-fraud strategy. But also, I think when we do a strategy of that nature and it is going to affect the provinces, you need to consult them widely and enough. Otherwise, they might not even buy into it. So I think on matters of DPSA, the responsibilities on governance and anti-corruption, in the department we do have our own service in terms of how we deal with the issues. So this was more a focused VTCs and DLTCs strategy on how to cap corruption in there. And it does not necessarily mean that we are not doing anything now. Just this afternoon, the minister will be answering questions for oral reply after cabinet in the sitting. And one of the questions is around the work that we have done to arrest people, and the majority of them our own, but driving school owners, instructors, runners, clerks, and those who buy the licenses. So there's a lot of work that we have done in that space there, but we therefore then want to have a consolidated and a strengthened effort. Why do we pay a grant to Santaco? Santaco was created by government. It is our creation. In the mid-90s, in the midst of the violence, government, business, and the taxi operators at the time came together to come and deal with strategy on how to deal with the violence at the time. And they formed what they called the NTT, the National Taxi Task Team, which came up with recommendations. Among the recommendations are that the taxi industry must be formalized, it must be trained, and it therefore must be assisted. But also it must be united, and hence the formation of these unions and then coming together. Now, there was therefore then a decision to form a council, a national council. If the members would recall, then we formed SATACO. And then in the process of electing leaders, others cried foul and then they broke away. We brought them back together. Then we added the N, and then we had SANTACO. Unfortunately, the people who lose elections will always have reasons not to come into the fold. Then others broke away again. But then we moved forward with the recommendations of how we then have to assist the taxi industry. So the idea was to assist them so that they get onto their feet, they get formalized, they get corporatized, and also participate in contracts. Unfortunately, as we go forward, we indicate how the subsidy money has not been growing to allow us to go into the new regime. Now they are not in a state where they are on their own. So I think the next question was, what about NTA? Now, NTA is those that broke away from what government formed in SANTACO. I mean, we need to indicate that. So that is the reality of the situation. So that is the issue around SANTACO and why and how we assist SANTACO. That is the distinction. The issue around the cuts to the subsidy is not necessarily ours. I think at some stage when we started making a lot of noise, and this is why we wanted to move away from the lifelong contracts of PATCOs. In the Western Cape, you will have Golden Arrow, and Durban, you will have the four big companies. In Mpumalanga, you will have Basco. In Limpopo, you'll have Great North Transport, and so on and so on. So you'll always have a major player and a very, very small but few, a couple. Now, when we wanted to break them out, the requirement is 3 times what we are investing now in the industry. And that is the dilemma around. So Treasury came to us and assisted us with money. So we are demonstrating that when they came and gave us money, they then took it back because of government pressures. Unfortunately, the economy did not therefore allow the amount that we were supposed to get to try to start to improve and transform and get others into the subsidy fold. So we are not yet there at a situation where we could totally transform the system. But then, like Mr. Zwal is indicating, we are looking inward to prioritize from within the funding streams and the sources that we are having, the basket, to see how best can we maximize matters of transformation and how best can we therefore cover more ground with what we have, because there is no indication that we'll get money, chair, very soon to then deal with these issues. And this is why this issue of we will be having within a month a public transport roundtable. We're going to look at all of this funding streams, PTNG, PTOG, including scholar transport, to say
How best can we move South Africans, including learners? And what is it that we have? And how can we reprioritize from within and shift and move resources accordingly based on what would have been the need? And that would talk to the, even the money that goes to the cities. We want to intervene in that space. I had expected the question from the roadway strategy issues to be saying, well, when are you moving cargo from road to rail? This strategy talks about that, talks basically moving appropriate cargo. There are targets that we've put in there from road to rail to minimize the damage that the trucks are causing on the roads, but also to reduce the number of trucks if we can. It is a long stretch. Unfortunately, trucks are still preferred because they provide what you call door-to-door service. So if you use rail, you still need at the other end to get trucks to get into the harbor or to go into the factories. Now, there is no excuse about vehicles that cause spillage through sand or these concrete vehicles. That those ones, if followed up or if seen and reported, will be arrested because that is not allowed. It's illegal. They're not supposed to spill. I think the challenge would therefore be law enforcement and not having enough law enforcement at regular intervals to deal with matters like that. But that is as bad as overloading. The truck that overloads must just be pulled over and not be allowed to proceed with the journey until it has reduced the load. Unfortunately, how can you realize that it is overladen? You have to take it to an overloading control station and you find out it is some distance away. So you cannot, like, by looking at it and say you are overladen, you stop, you don't proceed. Those are the issues that going forward as we improve our issues, those are some of the things that we need to do. And remember that mobile overloading stations are not necessarily regulated. So they still need to go to a way bridge, a static way bridge. I don't know how to deal with the issue of meter taxi versus Uber. I had anticipated it. You see, Uber has brought a problem for our meter taxi. That's the reality. But in the main, it has brought a good problem because the users like Uber. That's the challenge that we are having. But we will not, because we have got the responsibility to ensure equity and fair treatment. The piece of legislation that is with the portfolio committee and is coming to the SCOP, to this committee, we are regulating the issue of an app application versus a meter, so that we are able to regulate even the Ubers of this world. Nobody, in terms of legislation, nobody should carry people for reward without an operating license. Now, the Uber model, they can take my vehicle. They can call me and say, go and take Mr. X and take him there. Now, the legislation does not allow that. It says you must have an operating license. So Uber will not necessarily go away, but Uber must abide by the rules of the country. In that, Uber must contract out people who have operating licenses. But Uber has got standards in terms of the type of vehicle, the quality, the cleanliness, and all of those things. So while we strive for that excellence, they will then also be expected to have operating license and not use any other vehicle because of the issues related to conveyance of passengers for reward. Those are the issues we are encountering. It's only that in the absence of that gap, Then the provinces are issuing what they call charter licenses. And there's this misnomer or an anomaly of then issuing to Uber as a company. Because Uber does not own vehicles, doesn't have vehicles. So that is the market, the space that we want to regulate. It has to abide by the rules, otherwise it will not operate in the country. Because then even the competition laws will not allow that to happen. I'm not talking as a regulator, but as a user, if I were to choose between putting my kids in the two vehicles, I would obviously choose the Uber one. That is the issue, but it has to be regulated, and it has to compete fairly with the other users. We can make available the documentation around Mulato. We'll just need to get the particulars of the process we need to send to the Secretariat. We will make available the studies that we have made that told us that it is viable, it is sustainable, the rail option, and it will work and it can work. What we have found with the Chinese really is just the two pages that talks about the intent to cooperate. We still need to go to the laws of this country to ensure that the procurement laws and everything else are adhered to. So it's just talks before talks. That meet and greet, can we talk about Mulot, something like that. So it is not something that is concrete, cut in stone. But the project itself is viable and is a project that government wants us to implement. There's an issue of the project plan, and we can also submit documentation. Unfortunately, the project plan will always shift to have to depend on the availability of money and the closing of contracts and certain things. But that it is feasible, it is feasible. The PATCO contract that we have after the outcry and investigated, we came up with a model that breaks it up into four contracts, manageable contracts. And to me, that says we are very serious, because you are therefore able to transform the system. You can then get people with fewer buses and smaller bus operators. And we have been engaging with the community around Mulato on this thing. In 2017, it is highly unlikely that you can still have that contract if it is to be issued out the same way that it is, meaning with one major player. If you did not break it up in smaller manageable pieces, you will have one big contract, and what will happen? Nobody will be able to come in except the ones that are established, have got infrastructure, and are able to also undercut on cost. So apart from the maintenance, that is the one thing that will go out first, the bus site. We are doing something around the bus site. On the construction, we're working together with the local businesses and contractors. Actually, the people are identified by the steering comm that has been appointed by the communities to ensure that those supplies that can be provided for by the local community are being supplied by local community. And that will happen. That happens now on maintenance. It will then again happen during construction. And there is an incubation process so that you don't get substandard work and then you go back to potholes in 2 years' time. The issues of the logistics hub, we would have moved and moved with them enough and relative speed. I think we had the issues from the province. But basically, they were having issues with our alignment of the road to the bypass because of the issues around the town's economy. So they have brought together an alternative plan, which plan we are trying to see how we're costing it at the level of Sandra, but that talks to the loop, which is no longer there, to see how best can we go through the town, so that we then take this forward. The good thing about it now is that we'll have a shared plan or a shared vision around what we want to do on the in the area of Harrismith. There were a number of issues around PRASA. Chair, PRASA, we'll talk to a couple of them, but the majority of them, this committee chair can call PRASA at any time and have PRASA come to present their strat plan, because the board of PRASA is an accounting authority in terms of the PFMA. So they will be able to account for their performance information, their expenditure, their fruitless and irregular expenditures. So we can make sure that if they are called, they definitely are coming back. I don't have information around the Transnet kickbacks. And Transnet also reports to DPE, so the issues and the matters related to Transnet, but also the same lines around like PRASA, they can be called to come and account to the committee. We heard from the province that they are investigating the taxi rank in Bloemfontein. I know about it. I know the issues that it is not being used. But it was more around the infighting, the conflict in terms of who needs and who can manage it around the taxi operators. But also the fact of the infrastructure layout, which is they are investigating. It was built as part of the initial crisis of the PTS in preparation for 2010. So we can, but also the committee can ask questions from the province, because it was built by the municipality assisted by the province. And then how far is the rollout of ALT? I think Mr. Savisa can assist in that. The amendment bill, like we say, is still with the portfolio committee. It is coming to the this committee. Chairperson, I'm not an advocate or a lawyer for Letswalo, but the court judgment in that matter is very clear. One, Collins Letswalo was cleared by the court in terms of wrongdoing on the increase. To read the whole judgment, paragraph 21 and 22 is dedicated to the matter of Letswalo, and that the court were not necessarily telling the truth when they say they know nothing about how much and what is Letswalo entitled to and how much he should earn. The judge made it very clear. So we believe that it has been ventilated and clarified by the judge in the Popomolefe versus the Minister of Transport case, which was passed on the 10th of April. We can bring again, Chair, how we have targeted the outreach campaigns, but being that there are being nine, basically one per province, so all provinces will be covered. But where we are to start and how, and where we have already gone to, we can provide details around that. And then we can go verify this injury. These are the figures that are submitted to the cluster within government. On the engineers that are studying, we can go and get the exact figure, but it was all South African engineers. I think also those of Transnet, but we will, there's a combined figure coming from the cluster. So we will go and clarify which how many exactly are from PRASA. And then the dealers, Transnet was the right people to ask about the delays at the Durban Harbour. And basically, if what they are saying is not supported at all, it's negated by the academics, maybe they should be called to come and account. I don't really necessarily have the clear answer because it is within the Transnet domain. Chairperson, I think the colleagues can take others that I may have left out. I don't know which ones. CFO?
Chair, thanks, Chair. I think there is only one, the difference between the PTOG and the PTNG. Say, how do they work? The PTOG is in support of the old contract, which you would see, and the PTNG is actually an extension of also the PTIS, which is what we call the BRT. In Swanee, you would see that Swanee Bus Services is still there, but the BRT is there. And there are areas where you find that there are duplications because those, when they started the BRT, certain parts of the business that were supposed to move in the BRT did not move because of certain reasons. So that's why we are saying, as part of the transformation part, we want to make sure that we take all the money we are spending in public transport to be one, and then we then subsidize the commuter, and the commuter will choose which one of those becomes. Because what that helps is that then competition makes people to be more efficient. So we are trying to do that. So that's an area I think it was not necessarily touched by the DG response. Thank you.
Thank you, Nijan. I thought you covered it well, eloquently well, but it's still in the Portfolio Committee on Transport. On Tuesday last week, we were supposed to consolidate all the inputs by all the affected and interested parties that were called and appeared before PCOT. We are rescheduled to do that because they could not, they were in the house. So we are expecting a new date to do the consolidation on the inputs. We did speak to the chairperson that there was an indication from this committee when we were here last time that the bill has to be also coming this side so that you can also have your input. So the chairperson of the portfolio committee is aware of that, and I hope that once the consolidation is done by them, then they will be also some engagements with this committee as well. But we are more than ready. We are available to come engage as we did with the portfolio committee whenever you need us to come and engage. But the consolidation is underway. Thank you very much. Yeah, on the side of what the DG has said, I just wanted to highlight a few things on the unroadworthiness and law enforcement on freight on our road. I just wanted to add what my DG said in terms of why are we not doing some law enforcement when the trucks are dropping sand on our major routes. I think our traffic officers, as DJ said, they are doing their level best to deal with the overloading and the dropping and overhanging of the cargo on the trailers. Even this one, you are not allowed to have your load dropping all over the road. That is dropping of the load, which is it's a chargeable offence by law. So this is happening in quite a number of municipalities, in a number of provinces as well, where with the road where the truck is not closing properly, then it drops the bricks or the blocks. It's illegal because it's dangerous on the other road users. So the relevant authorities within the jurisdictions are taking care of that. They might get away with it at a particular point in time, but the law does not allow this thing to happen. I just wanted to concur with my DG on that one. Thank you very much.
Thank you, DG. I mean, from my side, basically, there are three issues that I just want to add on what the DG has said. on the road freight strategy, a specific intervention in relation to the question is we are beginning in the road freight strategy to introduce what we call the national registration system for trucks, meaning you must register a truck before you operate. And we're proposing that that particular system should be located in one of the departmental entities to manage that particular aspect of it. And then in relation to the Harry Smith Hub, again, to add on what the DC has indicated, is that honorable member might recall that there's an SEZ portion, which is in the industry part of the hub, which the president has recently launched, which has been licensed, and that particular money will then be allocated to begin the construction part of it. The delay was the approval of the license by the DTI. And then there's the Hadastria part of it, which is the logistics hub, where there's a moratorium of land by the municipality of Maluti Apofung, which has been set aside. And that particular aspect has also been addressed. The allocation for the designs has been costed to about 1.2 billion. We believe that as both the national and provincial government, we must find a way through a private, public-private partnership to begin to invest on that particular part of it. So the phase one of the SEZ has been started. Phase two would then piggyback and link to the phase one, which is the industrial side of it. And then the issue of basically the University of Stellenbosch, I think, honorable members, it doesn't mean that if a consultant raised an issue of that is alarming, we must believe in the information. What they did not do is to link the Transnet plans with what they came up on their studies. Because if you go through the Transnet plans, you would see there's improved infrastructure designs that Transnet has already begun to plan. The only problem probably for those designs to be implemented is funding. And from our side, Sandral has begun to contribute on the roadside on the N2 stretch to the port in terms of widening the N2, which is next to the old Durban Airport. So the province, which is the KZN province and municipality, must also begin to bring in their portion of investment and then national on the corridor. So basically to say the congestion is there, but it's caused by infrastructure constraints in terms of road infrastructure in particular. And how do we begin to link road and rail freight to complement each other? Because from a policy point of view, which is from the departmental point of view, is that you cannot have two modes that carry the same commodity to compete. What we need to do is to complement each other. Hence, we came with the intermodal facility concepts of the Harry Smith Hub, as well as the Cato Ridge. Cato Ridge being the intermodal facility allocated 30 kilometers from the port to shuttle commodities by rail from road. So there is work that has been done and completed in terms of engineering designs. The only challenge probably that we might agree is how to begin to attract investment to implement those designs. Thank you.
Chairperson, through you. Can I get an answer to my two questions, please? What I was standing.
Very good. I have a question at your hand, sir.
There was a question on the GDYC on the issue of the outreach. When you send this information on the Moloto and the China, the MOU to our committee secretary, could you also send the specifics with regard to those 9 outreach programs? Where are they going to be taking place? Unless you are able to give the information now.
Sorry, Chair. That's what I said. I said that there are 9 is one in each province, but where they are going to start and when, we will provide those details.
Okay. What was the second one, Honorable Makwe?
I thought they were writing.
Those 100 and what were added as indigenous, the approximate, or you say PRASA gave you that approximate and you took that approximate, or should you get this from PRASA or you don't have the information, yes or no?
I also answered on that one. I said this is the information that we gave to the cluster. We are going to determine whether the number of PRASA out of the 110, how much that number, because it is the engineering in the rail space that might include those of Transnet. So I thought that I had indicated that we obtained that information plus the 9 outreach information.
Honorable Chala.
Chairperson, I'm happy about the question of the logistic hub in LSB, but I'm not happy about the taxi rank in Bloemfontein. You know, the province and the metro, they are working hand in glove. And they cannot be a referee and a player at the very same time, whereas they've misused the money belonging to the taxpayers. I am representing Free State. I must go and account when I come to Free State. I cannot say the province and the metro will sort out the matter because it has been built by them. That's not their money. The money belongs to the people. And that taxi rank is not operational. It cannot allow taxis to come in and go out at the very same time. That is not why it is not working. It does not worth those millions that have been built with. So I want a clear-cut answer that you are, whether you are not going to assist us or you are assisting us, they cannot assist themselves because it's years that it has not been operating. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Chairperson, we, as much as we are the Department of Transport, there are issues and matters that belong to a municipality and those that belong to a province, and we have got very little to do with them. So I think what I was trying to say, I said I'm new and I'm aware about it, but I don't think that we are at a position as national to go and ask them to account. And that's why I said maybe the committee has got those powers to call them or even to subpoena them, can go and do so. But where we are seated is like trying to say we account for a street in Hamasheshane, for example, which is not in our domain. And even the people, the municipality of Hamasheshane can say to us, don't come here as national. They've got the right to say so, but they can't say so to Parliament. But that's what I was trying to indicate. It is their structure.
You want to make a follow?
No, I think I'm committed to that.
Yes. Thank you. No, we don't have those powers. We can call the municipality, you can call the province to come and account on that particular issue, but also as I indicated earlier, that you may influence the committee to also, as part of the oversight visit, also include the area as well.
The person, I think I was not on record. That is why I'm putting the microphone, so that it could be on record. Okay. That I asked this question, and then it was decided that the committee will take a decision through my input. Thank you.
Now, the thing is that Free State is big, yeah? So I don't want to commit here without us all together agreeing which district municipalities we will be targeted. Remember, we went to Mpumalanga in March or February. We decided as a committee which district municipality we're going to target, because we couldn't go to all the municipalities in Pumala. So I'm saying, therefore, it might be that the area that you're referring to may be in the district that we have not yet chosen the district municipality that we'll be visiting as a committee.
So I don't want AFRA to say that we will go there yet when we decide. It's not in the district that we will be focusing on, but it's a matter that we will discuss as a committee, you know, outside this particular platform.
Captain, I don't want to make this a dialogue, but maybe can you put off your mic? The area that you are talking about, you are right when you say you said from Kwako to Bloemfontein, 331 kilometers. You can see how far apart that is, but we'll decide.
But it doesn't necessarily depend on one oversight visit. As a committee, we can make a request to the health chairperson that you want to go to an oversight visit for a specific area outside our agreed oversight visit program. We still have that opportunity to go to any place, you know, as a committee. Honorable Makua.
Thank you, Chair, for allowing me. I see you did very well with time. Maybe just an observation to the staff who are from maritime and aviation. The work that they're doing is important, and we've noted. There are reasons why we did not raise questions to those. I think in aviation in particular, my questions are security related, and I thought, let's not raise it here. But we'll find the mechanism through which we can take them up. They are important for us as a committee. The second important aspect, Chairperson, is just related to the people with disabilities. We noticed that you have made reference to it in your presentation. When the Department of Labor presented to us, we urged them to look at employment creation for people with disabilities. Now we know that those people would most often use public transport to get to their places of work. And I have in the village a person that travels with us just from Pelican to here, and he struggles to get into the bus, even though the bus drops. And maybe in your strategic approach to these things, we would just want to, through you, Chair, make an appeal that you never, ever forget the people with disabilities in the plans that you're working on. I feel terrible when I'm in the plane and we all get out, and then other people have got to sit until we're all out, and then only they are helped out of the plane. I'm not blaming anybody for it, but to say that as a country, we must continue to be sensitive to the needs of people with disabilities. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Saba.
Chairperson, I'm sorry to say, I see a person taking photos while you are busy discussing this, and I don't know, there is a camera there, and that is not allowed.
Who's taking photo of
the gentleman next to Matthias?
Okay, just taking a picture
of the document.
The guest register.
I don't know. I was just asking whether it is fundamental that you should take photos, because what we are discussing here will be out. Can we please refrain from doing that?
But I think the motivation is wrong, Chair, because the Honourable Chabangu says what we are discussing here will be out. His job is to send out what we're discussing here, not to send out photos, but what we're discussing here.
Okay, then we take it in that spirit. Yeah. Okay, we now we're done with the presentations and the question, because this was the APP, started the 7th APP budget in preparation also for the budget vote debate. We need to then adopt the report. What I will be doing, therefore, I'll be then reading the resolution that will be moving and adopting as a committee. It reads as follows. The Select Committee on Economic and Business Development, having considered budget vote 35, transport, and the annual performance plan 2017-2018 of the Department of Transport report that it has concluded its deliberation thereon. The report to be considered. We have a mover and a seconder for the adoption of the report.
I so much.
Any seconder?
I so second.
Thank you very much. Okay. Thank you very much, TG and the team. The other issues that have been raised with regard to the NDTs, it's a matter that we will deal with as a committee, inviting those specific entities, but also from time to time we will also call upon you because they are quite a policy that you are developing. So from time to time we call upon you to update us. Thank you very much. We will ask the members just to remain so that we deal with the minutes of the previous meeting. The committee secretary, I don't know who's going to lie with the Any other correction on page 1? Okay. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. This is the last page. Can we have a mover and a second for the adoption of the minutes? Honorable Faber. Honorable Chabangu. Thank you very much.
committee we represent our province.
We don't have an announcement, honourable members, except to say that next week it's going to be public works, which is the last department with regard to strategic plan and APP. We have, after that, two open Tuesday. We were thinking of, members were talking about TRASA here, as if we could consider bringing TRASA here for the strategic plans and the APP and the other one, CEF.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, as you could recall, a week ago, I went to a meeting of the Select Committee. I excuse myself, so I went to the Select Committee of Energy. And the Chairperson requested, yes, I was there. And I went to stand in for Honorable Lovis Kochne. On entity, state entity. Sorry, Honorable McCoy, I made a mistake now. You are correct. Yes, please. Any case, so it was asked for that the minister should actually come to the select committee because they went to the portfolio committee, but not the select committee. And it always seems to like the portfolio committees get the ministers to come and explain all the irregularities. But when it comes to the select committee, for some reason, the ministers dodge us because it's always this meeting or that meeting. So what happened? Which I think was actually quite good. Honorable Prince requested for the minister to come last week. And the minister did appear. And they scrutinized the whole report. And the minister had very difficult questions to answer. And I really do believe that this committee should do exactly the same. Where there's irregularities like in Peraza, that the committee get the minister here and ask what is going on with Peraza. And Peraza must be here because the minister is eventually accountable. Thank you, Chairperson. So it's just from my side that I think that we can really do our job and ask these questions. Thanks.
Maybe we should consider that outside the period where we consider APPs and budget votes, because in the main, these are operational issues ministers will be dealt with. But outside this period of dealing with budget and APPs, we can consider that we can always hold cabinet members, government members accountable. But over this period, look, I think we need to really focus on the APPs and budget. When we're done, then we can call them.
Actually, we, as I was indicating,
just last one, Chairperson, are we going to have a debate on transport because it was still on the book?
Combined with the public.
So it is, it's now definite.
Yeah.
I'll do
the sweep and you're going to ask me. Yeah. In fact, our focus is that when we're done with the department, you remember we in the strategic plan we had at the hotel, we only managed to have one entity as this committee. Yet we have 31 entities. So after public after public works next week, going forward to even after the recess, our focus will be on the entities.
Yes, honourable members, can I register my disappointment at the absence of our researcher without apology?
Only two, not even one. Yeah. One phone bill saying the students that the learners.
No,
no, I must do it. I was not aware, I must do it. And then I apologize. Yes, sometimes we get people taking photos, don't know what it is. But if it's explained,
yes. Yeah, it was obligation,
yes,
sir.
Yes.
Okay, sir.
If you don't explain, you're in trouble.
I wasn't taking pictures. I was taking pictures of the business. Some ugly people. I didn't say anything.
It will prevent me from drinking whiskey. How many Ketonians drink whiskey?
There's a lot.
Oh.
No. You only drink that same screw of whiskey. No, what she did was something different, which we have to report on.